What's up, everybody? It's Noah Daniels. We're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast, the podcast where we bring on friends and guests to tell their ghost stories and supernatural experiences.
I'm JJ Crable.
What's up? I'm Catherine Clark.
And today we got our good friend Edie to share a story.
Hello.
Edie, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Oh, no. My name is Edie Tingle, and yes, that's my real last name. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah, where does that come from?
Most of my dad's family is like Canadian, so it's just weird more than anything. Don't you know?
Can you say tingle with like a Canadian accent?
Oh, a tingle, eh?
My Canadian accent always comes out as Irish, so.
But to be fair, that's most of your accents.
All of my are Irish. Yeah. What? Don't you know?
And Edie, you have come to our podcast today because you wanted to share a supernatural experience.
I did. So as you guys know, but the listeners don't know, my mom passed away last year. The story of how she passed away is like a really long and sad one. So I'm just going to kind of give the highlight. So she started to get really sick in August of last year and was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And I was the one that was primarily taking care of her. She was in and out of the hospital for a few months, but she was primarily living at home, and I had moved into my parents' house to take care of her. And so I was like there through the end, and like I was in the room when she passed away, which she did pass away at home, which was one of her last wishes, which I don't blame her. Being at a hospital sucks, or like in hospice care. Like I couldn't imagine doing that. Yeah. She got really sick in August of last year, and then she was diagnosed with COPD. By the way, fun fact, they have not discovered the catalyst for colon cancer. So it was a catalyst meaning like what causes colon cancer. Like my mom baked French baguettes, like authentic French baguettes, like very healthy, was on her bike like 7 miles a day on the Beltline, like did yoga every single day, like worked out, like she was generally healthy. Mm-hmm. And so like colon cancer, like it just sneaks up, and you know, no one's ever ready for cancer, but like my mom was a generally healthy person and kind of took us by surprise. And so she did smoke for a very long time. So she was diagnosed with COPD, which is a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is basically like emphysema and bronchitis, like had a baby and it was COPD, which...
Was she on oxygen?
She was. So she came, the last time she came back from the hospital, she was on an oxygen tank that... we had to like go around the house with, but she also had like a big machine that would sit in the middle of our house, and her breathing tube was like all the way, it was like 40 feet long, so we had to I mean, our house isn't that big, so she could go around on her own. And so she was very sick. She was fighting like crazy until the end, like about so I guess she passed away on November 15th. About a week and a half before that was when the doctors told her there wasn't really anything else that they could do. They had tried radiation. They had tried, you know, chemo, the traditional methods. And she was just so weak by the end that she couldn't really eat. So the doctors couldn't really do anything for her, unfortunately. And it shocked all of us because it took, I actually did this math the other day, from the day she was diagnosed till the day she died, it was 97 days. It was very quick. Like she had, my mom had Crohn's disease. I also have Crohn's disease. Her symptoms at the beginning were much like Crohn's disease. So we didn't really catch it until it was late stage, unfortunately. Yeah. The last week she was like, I do seasonal work. I was doing seasonal work at the time. So it was kind of a lull in between the summer season and the winter season. So I had a lot of time to spend with her. It was mostly me and her near the end, but my dad was also there. But it was like, you know, his job to make sure that there was, that everything was okay outside, that the bills were being paid, and that we have great insurance, by the way. My dad works on movies, so he's part of the union, and like both my mother and I have been covering, like that was a saving grace, not having to worry about that because everything was covered.
Yeah.
So it got to be the Monday. So my mom died on a Thursday, but on the Monday was when her brain kind of like started to go. Like I say, her brain left us on Monday and then her body gave out on Thursday, which, you know, that the body doesn't quit. So her mind kind of started to go on Monday, and she would get caught in loops of saying the exact same thing over and over again. So on Monday, around the time her brain went, it started to rain. And it did not stop raining until very soon after she passed away, which was like within the hour. But like I said, my mom kept getting stuck in these loops. And the thing that I asked my mom, at the time I was 24 and like I felt like my mom still had a lot more to teach me. You know, it's never fair when your parent passes away when you're young, mm-hmm. because it's like, oh, I need help with this, that, and the other. But So I asked my mom like what she wanted to tell me. Like I was sensing that there wasn't going to be a lot of time left. So I asked her what her biggest thing she wanted to tell me was. Mm-hmm. And she said, and I think everyone can, you know, take this to heart. She said, love. Love is the most important thing in life. And then what I took that from that was, you know, like love each other. Like love is the most important thing. Love makes the world go round. Mm-hmm. But as I was saying, my mom kept getting it stuck in these little loops. And the phrase that she kept saying was, good night, I love you. And would go, like, blow a little kiss. My mom would do that over and over again. And she would sleep for periods of time. But between Monday and Thursday, she just kept saying, she would get really worked up and startled and, like, try and get out of bed. But she was really weak at that point. She couldn't really get out of bed. So she kept saying, good night, I love you. And so at that point, we were just, you know, preparing my dad and I. So it got to be that Wednesday. So my mom was at home. The Wednesday, like at around 3 p.m., we kind of were just like, okay, she's like more rapidly getting into these loops. And so around 3 p.m., my dad didn't really leave her side. She actually, at one point, I think about 3 hours before she passed away, she got up and used the restroom, but she hadn't been able to do that for a while by herself, even though she did it like by herself the last time, which was, you know, incredible because I did forget to mention this. She was using a walker from like the last time she got up. Actually, she was in the hospital in and out, but the second to last time they sent her home with a walker because she was having trouble walking. Mm-hmm. And so she used the walker to get to the restroom. And it's not a very far, like, their old bedroom was, like, it had its own bathroom. So you just had to go, like, through a little area and then go in there. So she was able to do that about 3 hours before she passed away. And then she kept getting stuck in this loop of, I love you, good night. Mm-hmm. And then my dad left the room actually to go and make tea because it was November and it was cold and our house doesn't really have central heating. We used like little heater fireplace things. Very pretty. Mm-hmm. And my dad leaves the room. I'm on my phone doing the stupidest thing. I was looking up a remix to the Office theme song. And it was like a hip hop remix and I was trying to find it so I could download it on my phone. And I was kind of counting my mom's breaths because it would take her about 45 seconds to exhale.
Wow.
And then she would stop and she would kind of gasp her breath and then exhale. And then there was a point where I was just watching her and she left this world. Mm. And my dad was still in the other room making tea. Mm. And, you know, I was freaking out. So I started screaming. And then we called the home hospice service because that was the only thing that they were doing at that point. Like, you can't really do anything. We know she doesn't want to be an actual hospice service. It was a few hours. So that was, she died at exactly 12:45 a.m. on November 15th. And so she died in the house I still live in. It's been a hard year. It's almost been a year since it happened. But, you know, my mom was my best friend. Still is, honestly. I don't have problem saying that. Like, we fought during my teenage years, but like when I turned 20, I started to get it, you know, like, you're not so bad after all. And we're also so much alike that everyone always said that my mom just like took like a rib like, from Adam and Eve and just like,
yeah, mm-hmm.
dropped it on the ground and then I was there. Yeah. So that's kind of the story of like that's what leads up to all the happenings that have happened mm-hmm. to me since she has passed away.
Well, before you get into that, first off, thank you for sharing that story. Grandma actually died from colon cancer, and I would go visit her every day, and it was kind of the same thing. Like, one day she went to sleep, and you could just tell things slowly stopped working. Like, she stopped eating.
Yeah.
And then one day, like, you know, farther and farther down, body parts stopped working. Like, she would throw up everything, and then she went to sleep and never woke up again. And, yeah, it took her last breath. But that, you mentioned how, like, the day before, you know, your mom got up and went to the bathroom.
The few hours before.
Oh.
We were talking with the hospice nurse and they said that
it happens.
That she was just like, yeah, I guess she got that last burst of energy.
Yeah.
And like, used it all up to go to the bathroom.
We had someone, Nick DeGroot's mom came on.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah. Shout out to Nick. Mm-hmm. And his mom worked in a hospice and she talked to, I asked her, well, you know, have you seen people reaching out or talking to other people before they pass? And she brought up there's a day or day of when they're totally with it mentally, physically. Yeah. They get up. Sometimes they like brush their hair and seem like they're getting better. I had a patient at a hospital I worked at once. We had to give him moderate to maximal assist, which is where like we're doing 75 to 100% of the moving and transferring. Yeah. And I walked by his room one day and he was like up by himself walking to the bathroom. He had dementia, so we could never have a conversation with him. He was always talking about something else. But this day I walked by his room. He was up and walking and I stopped in the doorway and I was, Mr. So-and-so, you need to sit down. Where are you going? Thought he was like lost in his own world. And he just looked at me and said, thank you, child. Mm-hmm. Just like totally with it. Eye contact, everything. And he died the next day. It was just like, I'd never seen him be so normal or, you know.
Yeah, no, typical. I absolutely agree with that. Like before, my mom was like lucid conscious until Monday. And then like she left. But then I always say, like I was saying, it started raining approximately around the time her brain went away. And then it stopped maybe less than an hour after she passed away, but it was just constant rain. Like I was awake most of that time. I didn't sleep much during that period. I always say that Thor was just looking for my mom so he could personally escort her to Valhalla.
Oh, 100%.
Oh yeah. My mom thought Thor was really hot.
So yeah. Well,
don't we all?
Yeah. Another thing about this is my mom didn't tell people she was sick. She didn't want them to know. I don't know if it was like a, I don't think it was a pride thing, but I think she just wanted to keep it to herself. So there was a list of people I was supposed to call when she did pass away. And I was calling them. I was in the bathroom, actually off of their bedroom because my dad had finally fallen asleep because the hospice people didn't actually come and get her till about 3 a.m. So it was a few hours after she died. So she was just there. Unfortunately, like she was in the other room, but I was awake most of the night. I couldn't sleep, obviously. So I was calling those people and I was on the phone in the bathroom. All of a sudden the lights go out. I'm like, that's weird. So I live on a street with like a cafe and a restaurant and like a little bodega type thing. And I went outside because I want to see if the entire neighborhood lost power. And so I went into the little store where my mom had actually sold her bread, her French baguettes at before she, like about a month before she died, she stopped because she just couldn't bake anymore. And so I went in there and I asked if their power was out. And it was, and I told them that my mom had passed away. You know, hugs ensued. I went back into my house. My dad had kind of woken up and he was sleeping on the couch. And so he was like, what happened? And then the power came back on right then. And I was like, oh, that was weird. He was like, oh, you know what that was, right? I was like, what? He was like, oh, that was your mom. She was just messing with us one last time. That one was not a paranormal thing, but funny. Coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? So do you think that part of your mom is still here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there have been a couple things that have happened since she passed away. So like I mentioned, we don't have any central heating in our house. So and it's not as bad as it sounds. It's not very dangerous, I promise. But we don't have any central heating or air in our house. So we have a curtain right in front of our front door to keep all the air. Mm-hmm. So I was home alone. I still live with my dad. I'm waiting till we both kind of, you know, get back on our feet, like emotionally, trying to find a new normal. Sure. And so I was home alone one day and I was sitting in our living room, which is like, our front door, there's like a little bit of a hallway and then it lets out into our living room. And the curtain makes a very distinct noise when it's moved. Mm-hmm. And so I was sitting in our living room and I think I was tinkering with our sewing machine, my mom's sewing machine, trying to get it to work. But I know nothing about sewing machines, so I wasn't making any headway. I hear the curtain move about halfway, like if someone pulled it back halfway. And the sound is very distinct. It's like plastic and metal, like moving against each other. Mm-hmm. I was very scared because I was home alone and I didn't hear the front door open at all. And my mom was a very cautious woman. So she had bells on the front door too. She was kind of a witch.
Yeah. And, I love that.
She had bells, like, now that I'm thinking about it, it's more witchy. It's a gargoyle bell on our front door. Like right. That also has a very specific noise when you open the door. So the curtains opens halfway. I don't see it but I can hear it and I'm very scared. So I stop what I'm doing. I grab the scissors that are sitting next to the sewing machine because, you know, I'm thinking like there's someone in my house. Like, I've been listening to too many murder podcasts. I think that everyone's trying to kill me.
Yeah. Scissor now. The shit out of them.
Yeah, just like they were like sewing scissors, so they're really sharp. And so I go and then like I peek my head just a little bit around the corner and the curtain is halfway back. And it was the dead of summer, so I know I closed it to keep the cold air in our living room.
Is that something your mom would do a lot?
Close the curtain? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. She used to get on everyone, all my friends, like if they didn't close the curtain behind them really well. And so she would always move it back.
Yeah. Well, that's also a commonality we hear in stories or like stories that I've heard is like they'll do something that is familiar to you so that you know it's them.
Yeah. Which, no, absolutely.
Which like, you know, I have friends that say white butterflies are always people visiting her or prayers being answered. Another sees like hearts in leaves everywhere. And when she sees a heart, she knows it's her dad. I've never had any, or some people say they see the same sequence of numbers like on signs or on cars and they'll just happen to look and they'll just see it all the time. I had a friend in college who would, anytime she looked at the clock, it seemed to be like 2:13 or 3:13 or 4:13.
So 13 was the common number. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And nothing like that's ever happened to me. But yeah, the window opening makes sense. My friend's grandfather passed away and they were all watching like a show one night and heard like a door open, except, you know, they were in the living room. The door didn't open, but it sounded, and the dad was like, oh, that sounded like my childhood door opening. Mm. And then it's just like little signs like that make them think that spirit is trying to tell them that they're there, or their smells. Or
it's so funny because there are so many things that have very specific like sounds, like the curtain opening, like the door opening, like even whenever I was home alone, like, and I heard someone come through the door, if I heard the key, like how their keys jingle, I could tell who it was because it was like, that's a commonality thing. Like, I think a lot of people deal with like, oh, it's like, oh, I know who this person is because of the way they walk or their keys jingling.
Makes me wonder if you take the gargoyle bell down throughout the week, you'll forget you took it down. But if you were to hear it again or something like that,
I would run away very fast.
When you saw that it had opened and you started to kind of connect the dots, did you know immediately that, you know, your belief was that your mother had moved it, or was that something you came to a conclusion later on?
Were you skeptic at first?
I don't think I believe in the paranormal and everything like that. So I think my first thing was like, oh, who moved this? Then it was like my first thought was my mom.
Okay. To logically be like, I'm the only one home.
Yeah, my first thought was, the bell. Did I leave it open? No, it's really hot in this house. I want to conserve all the AC. And especially like hearing the noise. Like I didn't have anything on. Like I normally play like something in the background or have a podcast on or something like that. But I had nothing on at that point.
And you don't have any pets that could have moved it or anything like that?
I have three very ungrateful cats, but they couldn't move it. It's a very heavy curtain. Okay. Like it's a very ornate heavy curtain that has like, it's a little bit too long for the space. So there's maybe like 6 inches at the bottom that insulate it. So it's heavier than it would normally be.
Yeah.
There's no like under, like it's not easily moved.
Right. Did you have other things happen?
Yes, I have them written down.
Oh, yes.
So there's only a few, two or three more, I promise.
It's okay. I want to hear all of them.
So I now inhabit the room that was my parents' former room. Like I live in there now. Like I was sleeping on a futon before in their living room while I was living there taking care of my mom. And so I now live in the room that was my parents' old room. And that was the room that she passed away in. But there, like I said, there's a shower like right off of that room in there. The only way you can get to the shower is going through the room. So like there's a bathroom back there, but the only way to get to that shower is through my bedroom. And so one night I was home alone again, because well, these things always happen when you're home alone. And so near the end, my mom would cry sometimes because she was in so much pain. A tumor the size of both of my fists, like this big, was in her abdomen. And I would say that's like 6 inches. I don't know, for the viewers at home that cannot see my tiny fists together. 6 inches, and it was like 3 inches around. It was pretty big, and it formed very fast in her colon slash intestine. And so she would cry sometimes because, you know, that's got to be really painful. And she wasn't on any painkillers for the longest time. And so I was home alone really late at night, taking a shower, and I was listening to music. And I think I was listening to some pop punk band from the 2000s, because that seems very on brand for me. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Like NSYNC, probably.
Yeah, close enough. So I was home alone, and I start hearing this noise. And so I like freeze instantly, and I'm like washing my hair. I'm like, oh, that's not a fun noise. So I pause my music, and the noise stops. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'm just hearing things. I don't really need to pay this any mind. So I start my music again. And then a few minutes go by, the song changes over to a new one. And then I hear the noise again, the exact same noise. And I pause my music again, and the noise continues. And it sounds exactly like my mom crying. And I get out of the shower, like still soaking wet. And I go into my room, and there's nothing there. But the noise is fainter when I go into my room, but the noise is still happening. It's very low, but you can still hear it. I go back into the bathroom, and the noise just kind of tapers off. But it sounded exactly like my mom crying, which is so haunting, hearing someone crying.
And has your dad had any of these experiences?
We haven't talked about them, if he has. I don't think he has. I think that would be something he would immediately tell me.
Yeah.
Because we are very close, my dad and I, and we're a team that was taking care of my mom till the end. And he would definitely tell me. And he believes in supernatural things as well. We've had that conversation. It was like bone-chilling crying. It was like, it wasn't even like a full bursting crying or anything like that. It was low, and it was a painful cry. Like the person was in pain. Not like they were sad, which is why I think it's my mom. And like, yeah. I don't think she was crying for help. I think she was just like upset, which is fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry for it to be so sad.
No, that's just a lot to think about.
I know. I'm sorry, guys.
No, this stuff is so hard to talk about, but I think it's important that, especially, I'm going to get a little woo-woo, as humans, being able to talk about and share these experiences, because they happen to all of us, and they will happen to all of us. And
there's probably somebody listening to this episode right now that can relate to you with some of the experiences you've had.
Yeah.
No, like I want to be able to talk about this. Like I said, I was 24 when my mom died. I'm 25 now, and it's like almost been a year. I was 23 when she got sick, but it's just like I'm in a really weird in between age where there are like support groups for kids. And then there are support groups for people in their 30s and above, but there is not a support group that I have been able to find that is specifically geared towards young adults, specifically losing parents.
That's really interesting.
I know.
I know we're both, we're both part of that Atlanta group, the Dream Warriors.
Yes, yeah.
It's like an all-female, I don't know.
Or female-identifying,
female-identifying group on Facebook where people can go and like vent, or they can ask for suggestions or services. And I've seen multiple that are like, hey, guys, my mom just passed away. And I've seen you comment on it.
Yep.
And it's such a great support system. But all of them are looking for that group.
Yeah, no, there's this. I am going to butcher this. But there is a group in Atlanta that meets, that's some kind of support dinner. And you can sign up on their website, or you can request to be a part of their dinner. Say if there's a dinner near you that happens either bi-quarterly or quarterly about people who have lost parents. And I have applied to be in there. I haven't heard back yet, but it is specific. It's like a dinner where people can just talk about it. And like a friend of mine recently, actually, he lost his mom very suddenly. And I've been not like guiding him, but like offering advice. It hits you in different ways at different points. Sure. Like there are surely like there are things I haven't even began to process yet, even almost a year later. Like I'm trying to help him out like as best way I can, but it is nice to like talk to other people, but I have not yet found that group. And I will say that my therapist has also looked in Atlanta for different groups, and there isn't one that's suited for people like me, which is very interesting.
Are there
right?
online groups?
Define online. Like,
yeah, because like I feel like we could say there's been so many different cases, even in that Dream Warriors page, where there's so much support and so much feedback, but
have the idea of like meeting once a week or once a month or twice a month with just a group of people to check in about the stuff of all different levels of like, you know, past 6 years ago or past last week.
And there isn't one. Like I am a part of this group. Again, I'm going to butcher the name. Healing After the Loss of Your Mother, Grief Support, I think. I'm sorry if I got that wrong.
That's awesome.
But someone...
Online? Say,
that's on Facebook, yes. I found it very helpful. Like, there are a lot of members in there. But someone did post the other day that said, like, I'm 24 and I just lost my mom. But it seems like everyone in here is, like, 35 plus, and like a bunch of people commented and said like, hey, I'm 22 24, like whichever. But this group also spans like all over the world, so it's not like we could meet up and have a in like a church basement or something.
Evie, you're kind of changing topics.
Yeah, you're good
here, but is it, you know, staying in your mom's old room, is that, I know some people would like be really kind of afraid about that. Do you find like, is it kind of comforting? Do you kind of feel like some of her presence is still in there?
I honestly think the reason why they're like, I've been experiencing so many things is because like I sleep in that room and like I inhabit that room that she did pass away in there, and she's honestly, I think she's still there. And, like, I still do have one more experience that I've written down. So, I was going to sleep, this was maybe, like, 3 months ago. Like, all of these things have happened within the last 9 months, I would say. All these experiences I've been talking about. So, like, about maybe, this was the second to last one that I've kind of, like, felt her. And so, I was going to sleep one night. I think I had come back from a show or something, and I was like feeling really great. And
what kind of show?
Oh, you know, one of those improv shows that I'm part of the Village Theater community.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah, thank you.
Oh, you do improv?
I do, yeah.
I've heard good things about
so much
theater.
Fun. But I came back from a show one night, and I was like getting ready for bed, and like I was still pretty awake because, you know, sometimes like whenever you get off stage, you still have a lot of adrenaline going, at least I do. So I was very awake, and I was trying to find something to calm me down and like so I could go to sleep because I had to be at work early the next day. I was like turned off my light and I was kind of laying there very awake. I just heard, "Good night. I love you." I didn't hear the kiss noise, but I heard, "Good night. I love you." And it was clear as day, my mom's voice. And I like my eye, like it, you can see pretty much in the dark in my room because there's a street light like 40 feet away from my window. So I like my eyes opened so wide. And like I looked around because it was like as clear as day, like I could hear it. I'm like, I wasn't asleep, but like, you know, like that, not sleep paralysis, but like, you know, seeing things or like hearing things when you're halfway asleep, but I was still very much awake, and I just heard, "Good night, I love you," which my mom, I am not embarrassed to say this, every night since I had a cell phone, my mom texted me and said, "Good night, I love you, sweet dreams." I know, even that's when she so was cute. Sick, I know. And so if I wasn't at home or like when I was a teenager, she would just text me that and like, "So good night, I love you."
And you said you were in your bed?
I was in my bed, like almost exactly, because my bed is now where their bed used to be. So I was almost in the exact spot.
Did it, can you describe like where you heard it? Does that make sense? Like, did it sound like it was coming from a side of the bed, a side of the bed?
It sounded like it was coming from right above me. Not like one side or the other. Because it so you know when you're like talking with someone and they're like right in front of you, but their feet are on the ground, so they can't obviously be hovering above you, but they're like obviously like right in front of you. That is what it sounded like. But my eyes were closed and I was just like, "What?"
Have you made an attempt to communicate back when these things have happened?
In that instance, I said, "I love you too." And then I closed my eyes. And I felt like a very calming, warm, loving presence, and I was able to go to sleep.
And has that experience put you more at peace with what's happened, or has it had a lasting effect on you?
I wouldn't say, like, I'm never going to have, I don't think I'm ever going to have peace with what happened. Like, people are like, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. Yeah. I'm like, it's not okay, but it happened. So I know I have to accept it. But little things like that do give me a little bit of peace. Like, I believe one of the ways my mom communicates with me is through music, because that is something we both loved very dearly. And I was having breakfast with my partner the other week when it was my birthday. And so we were eating breakfast at Rhea's Bluebird Cafe near my house.
Yeah.
Best pancakes in the world, I swear, New York Times rated. I know, they're so good. But I was sitting there with my partner and we were just kind of like making small talk over the best pancakes in the world.
Rhea's Bluebird does not sponsor this.
No, they don't. Podcast. But I'm just, yes. I just
watch out, Atlanta.
I just really want you to go there. So good. The music overhead was kind of like hipstery and like punkish, and then all of a sudden, a song that had no business being on that playlist called "Brass and Pocket." I want to say it's by the Pretenders. It was one of the songs I listened to with my mom growing up, and that song had no place being on that playlist or whatever.
What
but,
kind of genre of music is Brass and Pocket?
Gosh. Like, kind of like...
jazz?
No. Like, it's very light electric guitar. Okay. Almost acoustic, but it was just like, it had no place being on that playlist of like what was playing before.
Right.
And so we also used to listen to that song when I was a kid, and like I just felt that my mom was with me then, because like who would be playing the Pretenders at like a popular cafe when they were just playing like...
That's another...
DJ was probably like, who on earth put this on my playlist?
Who did this?
Your mom's just...
She's just like, got the headphones on.
This guy in the back with like his glasses and his man bun and his flannel shirt, he's like... Wait, this is not...
This is... I don't want Chrissy Hynde in my playlist.
Yeah. But that's also... No, yeah. Something that is commonly brought up is just songs at random times.
Oh, yeah.
Like the same one over and over that maybe was tied in with your loved one.
Yeah. But I did totally feel her sitting there with us. Because also, when I was in high school, I used to skip school.
But 80s teachers, if you are listening to this podcast.
Well, I would skip school with my mom, and we would go and get breakfast at Rita's Bluebird Cafe. Oh, and nice. We would then go to the High Museum, like spend the day. I was like, Mom, don't make me go to school.
Yeah.
So she was still educating you when you
were... Yeah. My mom was...
Yeah, you
my
just
mom was
went
an
on
educator.
A one-person field trip, yeah, and your mom was the chaperone.
It's funny, because she was the art teacher at my high school. No, so technically... Yeah.
So I have a question, and I hope it's not too personal.
What's up, Noah?
Do you feel apprehensive about moving out of the house?
Ooh, so that you're not the first person to ask me that. And I moved out of that house or moved out of my parents' house when I was 18 and lived with roommates, also with a partner at the time. And so I moved out right when they moved into this house. And I moved back in with them after that relationship ended. And I lived there for, 2 years almost. And then I moved in with my partner. And we lived together for almost 2.5... Yeah, 2.5 years. I'm totally doing math wrong. It was 1.5 years.
Math is hard.
I know. And like timelines. But when my relationship with that person kind of crumbled to an end, it was around the time my mom started getting really sick. So I moved back in with my parents to take care of my mom, and that relationship had ended. So I was like, I don't really have anywhere else to go. And my mom was getting really sick. So I felt like an obligation to take care of her. But I think when... So it's October now. And so next month will mark the year of my mom being gone. And I already have plans with someone to move out, and we're actually currently looking for houses. So I think I am ready, but I just want to make sure that my dad is okay. Because, I mean, like, you know, he's a widower now. Like, wouldn't that suck?
Yeah.
Has your dad had any kind of experiences where he feels like, well, other than the electricity going out, where he's like, oh, that was her?
Like little things, like on her birthday of this year, she would have been 65. We went to her favorite restaurant again, and I'm not sponsoring them, but I'm just saying they're really good.
Give us a kickback, Atlanta restaurant.
But my mom was a foodie and loved like all food, and she was a chef and like loved making French baguettes. So on her birthday, we went to Babette's, which is an amazing French cuisine place.
Can you spell that?
B-A. You know how to spell that.
Just to make it really clear to our listeners and to Babette's,
if you like,
give us
French
some of that French
cooking.
Money food.
But on her birthday, we went to...
French food money.
Wow. All right. Bye.
You can edit around that, right?
Nope, that's it.
Take it out. I don't like French food. But like
escargot. So
like there's been...
Okay.
We did not eat escargot.
Why not?
Snails.
They're probably like gummy bears, but like, salty.
I've had escargot. They are basically gummy worms that are salty.
They're like
slimy.
They're right. Food boogers.
Oh, did I say gummy bears?
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you just say food boogers?
Yeah, they're just
no,
edible
that's,
boogers.
That's
hey, we all ate our boogers at one point. So.
I actually
are you
don't
saying
think
we
I
don't
did.
Anymore?
It's the podcast
Wait,
tradition.
Wait, no. Sorry.
I mean, like, the stunning is what
While
I'm
we're on this topic... The food booger, is that what you said?
Yeah. He's called a food booger.
Are those little things you have to slurp out of the thing?
Well, you're going to have to be more specific.
Are you talking about oysters?
Yeah, they're just like salty, wet, nothing.
They're also cold, too, so that kind of makes sense.
Mussels I can do, because there's something there that's tangible.
What were we talking about? French cooking, right.
Babette's.
Thank you, Babette's.
I won that.
You did, sure.
Food booger.
Well, I think that oysters are like, I think they're kind of like boogers in the sense of like, you got to work to get them. And sometimes there's a pearl in there.
Oh, for sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Not when you get it at a restaurant.
Well, no, that's when you're at home. It's like taking leftovers, you know?
That is the aphrodisiac when you find the pearl.
Yikes. What was I going to say? When we were sitting at Babette's, for whatever reason, we had a candle on our table that was, it wasn't like one of those religious candles, but it had glass protecting it. So like on either side, but this, the top was still open. I don't know. It's like, it was a lot, it kind of looked like a religious candle, but like not as fancy.
By religious candle, you mean like the really
the tall, ones?
Bases.
Yeah, exactly.
Had, like the Virgin Mary on
or
the,
like
the
Dolly Parton.
Mary
on the
this
one?
That one, yeah.
Oh!
Exactly like that. So... It's like a long and skinny
I'm
candle.
One, listeners.
Yes, it's very pretty.
They're
Does
great
it smell good?
Candles.
No, they're great.
They I'm not Catholic, but I like the candles.
But they're not scented. I don't get it.
They're
for praying. Okay, so the candle kind of looked like that. So like you couldn't blow it out from the side. You know what I mean?
It needed a top blow.
It needed. It needed someone to blow it from the top. So the candle went out randomly. And my dad just kind of like looked at it and gave me a look, and he was just like, "You know what's up?" And I was like, "Oh."
And that was your mother's birthday.
It was on my mother's birthday.
She blew the candle out.
She did because it was her birthday. But none of the other candles in this very busy restaurant went out.
Oh man, what if they all went out at one time?
Oh, I would not be breathing anymore. That would scare me.
Your mom would be such a badass if she got all the candles to just go out.
Yeah, but
you know, we've heard some stories where it's like. The ghost seems to be kind of like tied to a specific place.
Mm-hmm.
I like that your mom's spirit can still like go out to eat with y'all and enjoy her birthday dinner.
Well,
that's pretty nice.
So she died on November 15th, which last year fell a week before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad and I hadn't really expected her to make it to Thanksgiving. And so my mom, like I said, she was a chef. So she made a every holiday was about food. Like she loved cooking. She was matriarch. And like, we actually, from the time I was in high school, till the time like now, like the year before, we had Thanksgiving with another family that I was close to in high school. And she, one of my friends from high school, sup Jack, he was like one of my best friends. He took a seminar from my mom during our short term break about cooking. And he ended up loving cooking, really getting a knack for it. So that Thanksgiving, which was like a month later, our short-term break was, you know, kind of like a weird time where we weren't really taking classes. And so a month later, like our families were so close that my mom and Jack actually cooked Thanksgiving dinner. And that was a tradition all the way until he moved to Ireland. His family's from Ireland. But like made all of our food. And we didn't make a lot because it was just me and my dad that year. We were like trying to get through day by day because it was still very fresh.
Yeah.
We ended up going to see Bohemian Rhapsody on Thanksgiving after we cooked our little meal. And it, my mom and I really, really loved the actor Rami Malek. Mm-hmm. And so he's an amazing performer. Again, Rami Malek is not sponsoring me. No. I just really like, you're an Oscar winner now.
You want those Mr. Robot monies.
Oh, he's so good in that show. But my mom and I had watched Mr. Robot together and like we really loved it. And so,
I just Googled him. He's cute.
He's hot. Yeah. Nice. Did you know he's Egyptian?
He also has a twin brother.
Cool. He does, but he doesn't look as cute as him. His brother's a little bit.
Our previous guest, who we just had on, used to work with his twin brother at Hulu.
Really?
I just remember that. Ooh.
What?
Okay, weird flex, but that's
weird flex, but okay. But I had a dream a couple days before we went and saw Thanksgiving, where it was me, my mom, and my dad. So it was still really fresh that my mom wasn't there. But my mom, it was Thanksgiving, and my mom was there, and she didn't say anything, but she was there. She did not speak a word this entire dream, but we ate, laughed. She didn't laugh. She never thought I was funny. She always kept saying, I need a new material. I have a really terrible joke. Noah, I'm going to tell you this joke. What do you call a pile of kittens?
I don't know. What do you call a pile of kittens?
A meowntin. Oh. That's funny, right?
It works.
I know. I kept telling her that joke when she was doing chemo, and like our little banter was like, I need a new material. She never thought funny. She thought I was funny till the day she died, and always said she was very, very proud of me. So I'm joking wholeheartedly.
That's
she loved
definitely
me.
Laffy Taffy worthy.
Well, I will say.
Real.
Or popsicles, or like. It's definitely related to what population is receiving.
Oh, yeah. I also want a mountain of kittens now.
You want a mountain of kittens?
It's a meowntin.
Well, you should talk to your producers about that. Maybe they can get it for you.
I thought that joke was going to be like, going to take a real dark turn.
No, no. She would have liked for it to take a dark turn. But like.
I thought it was going to be like the pile of dead babies joke or something.
No. I'm into dead babies.
I thought it was going to be a sex joke. I was like, oh, here it comes.
Oh, no.
That's why your face went blank after I started saying it. You're like, what? What do you call? No, it's a funny joke. But so in that dream, we all laughed, went and saw Bohemian Rhapsody, kind of like what me and my dad did later that week,
but with her,
which was cool in that dream. But then like me and my dad went and saw Bohemian Rhapsody, and my mom really loved Rami Malek, and we had gotten really excited when we heard the news that he was going to be Freddie Mercury. Mm. And like when she started to get kind of sick, like one of the first images leaked of Rami Malek as Freddie Mercury, like, you know, posed in that sexy position with the microphone. And my mom was like, man, he is hot. So it was like really special. Like I would have loved to have seen that movie with my mom, but it was, you know, I felt like she was there with us watching it.
Yeah.
And she, like, I knew he was going to win that Oscar. Like, I walked out of the movie theater and told my dad, I was like, he's going to win that Oscar, Dad. And he's like, no, he's not.
Well, kind of like JJ brought up about, or Kat maybe actually brought it up. We've had people talk about how ghosts might be connected to a certain place or a certain room. Or based on what you've told me and me not knowing anything but the story I've heard, I would think that because you were such a caretaker to your mom, I mean, she's probably imprinted on you in some way.
I absolutely believe that. So my mom was crazy obsessed with pearl buttons, and they're like shiny, but they're like really gorgeous buttons that are on like sweaters and things like that. Things where buttons go, but they're like gorgeous. Like if you don't know what pearl buttons look like, look it up. They have a very specific look. And so my mom had collected a lot of pearl buttons. So whenever I see pearl buttons, usually in threes on sweaters, and like there's three buttons on it. I've seen it a lot since she passed away, and three represents the three of us in our family. It's always been a recurring theme, just the number three, like you were saying earlier.
Okay.
But pearl buttons and the number three, two of the things.
Well, it certainly sounds like your mom was a great person.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for sharing so much.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I talked a lot, and I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Claim your space with your speech.
First, apologize for talking.
Oh, man. Is that what podcasting is all about? It's apologizing for talking.
Specifically why we bring people on.
Oh, man.
But no, I mean, look, you're one of my favorite people. Aww. And I was excited that you were coming on tonight tell your story with all your humor.
You were just excited to watch me cry on your podcast. Don't even try me.
We have been illustrating and we will post.
No, me crying. Oh, good. Is there like a courtroom sketch artist in the corner?
Yes.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Earl, come on out.
All right, Earl.
But no, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing. Yeah. I know that was really personal and an easy thing to talk about.
The thing like I was worried about was just like talking forever and then like feeling like I skipped over some parts, but like I skipped over a few things, but they weren't that important, but I feel like I told the main things without getting too sad.
Yeah. Well, is there anything you want to put out on this podcast? Like, I don't know. Oh, regarding the group you were talking about or something, projects in your life or...
Oh, man.
Is there anything you want to plug?
Word of encouragement.
I think I got something. I think the thing I want to remind people is what I mentioned earlier about my mom's advice. Like, the most important thing in life is love, guys. Spreading it, sharing it, you know, speaking your mind about it. Like, share whatever you have, no matter how big or how little. The world revolves around love.
Average love is okay. It doesn't have to be super big.
I mean, it could even be platonic love, you know. Don't look at me like that. No, but like I think it's totally okay to tell people you love that you love them. Like
I hear you.
Like I'm trying to say, like, you should be able to even tell the people you love that you love them, like, because you never know what they're battling behind closed doors. Yeah. And it might be the best part about their days being like just like holding their shoulder. I don't know if you hold their shoulder, hug them. I don't know. Holding a shoulder.
Shoulder holding is
like
great.
Just
being thank like, you. She's holding I my shoulder you. Right now, listeners.
Kind of like.
Noah, tell us you love us.
Yeah, come Noah, on, come on. Noah.
I hate you guys not that much.
Noah! I love you, Noah.
I love you, Noah. You jerk. All right, but I do have something to plug. So, that's love aside. I am on an improv team called McCluskey and Sturgill.
Wow.
Maybe you've heard of them. I don't know.
There may be three other people in this room on that improv team.
Maybe. I don't know. But we, saying we have a run of shows during November at Village Theater. McCluskey and Sturgill follows
in Atlanta,
Georgia. McCluskey and Sturgill follows, you know, the two mishaps of two rookie buddy cops and just trying to fight for their jobs every day. And every week there are two new McCluskey and Sturgills, and they have to solve cases that are real life blotters. You know, like those things you see in creative loafing.
Real life silly police cases.
Yes. And it's so much fun to do. Like I think it's very obvious that when we're on stage, that we enjoy doing improv with each other and we love riffing off of each other. But that's the thing that I'm doing that's coming up.
Cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. It.
I hope we get
no, that's not it.
Some listeners there.
Yeah.
Well, this is normally the part of the podcast where we talk about what we believe and what we don't. But I don't know this is really that kind of episode.
Well, I will fight you.
I'll just say, I've always felt like I can't fully say like, yeah, I believe unless I've really had that personal experience. Mm-hmm. And I can't know if I would believe in it or not unless that kind of thing has happened to me. And I think there's, you know, some people who believe in ghosts because just like the happenstance was so strange. That can't be coincidence. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, Edie, kind of what I sense from your story is that, you know, the happenstance is, or not so much that the happenstance is so strange, but that it's so emotionally connected and powerful to, you know, really personal, intimate experiences that, you know, I think that strong feeling, you know, I'm sure to you makes it seem like it's too much to be coincidental. So
I would say, and none of these are like malicious or anything, like I never feel like I'm being attacked.
Yeah.
Like some people sometimes feel like they're being attacked, like mm-hmm. objects are thrown at them, or like, you know, they see Jawa eyes in the dark or something. That was a callback. But like none of these, I think it was just my mom being like saying, hey, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Like I talk to her all the time. Like one of our jokes when Am I allowed to curse on this podcast?
Yes.
Okay. Don't look at me. When she was alive, sorry. You're like the maternal figure.
The maternal. These are my children. No one changes my children.
Mama.
I am.
Okay. Yikes. First
too far. Hashtag too far.
Oh, whenever we were alive, whenever she was alive, we would call each other assholes all the time. And mm-hmm. like, I still to this day call her an asshole. I'm like, you. Like, I just like look up and I'm like, you asshole. Just like when like random things happen, like when I see her in like every day, I'm like, you bitch.
Well, from our asshole to yours, that's another episode of the Real Hauntings
really
podcast.
That's how we're ending this one.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's
I liked it.
We can keep it. I'm just saying, let's try out a couple different endings.
I knew that would bother Kat specifically. That's why.
Hey,
our asshole tour. That kind of bothers
me. Let me just say, I hope that stays on the podcast. And everyone has a great night or day, wherever you are.
All right, guys, that's our episode of The Real Hauntings. I'm Noah Daniels.
And I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Kat.
Oh, I'm Edie Tingle.
And from our asshole to yours.
Ooh.